Have you ever sat at your desk wondering if your job actually matters to anyone? You're not alone. When David Graeber's essay suggesting many modern jobs might be pointless went viral in 2013, it struck a nerve so deep that polling soon confirmed his suspicion. Nearly 40% of workers in developed countries believe their jobs make no meaningful contribution to the world. This revelation contradicts everything we're taught about capitalism's ruthless efficiency. How could an economic system obsessed with profit be wasting resources on millions of unnecessary positions? The answer reveals profound truths about our relationship with work, meaning, and social value, and challenges fundamental assumptions across the political spectrum. A bullshit job isn't simply unpleasant work. It's employment that's so completely pointless, unnecessary, or pernicious that even the employee cannot justify its existence. The corporate lawyer drafting documents no one will read, the strategic consultant creating presentations that will never be implemented, the communication specialist writing newsletters nobody opens. These workers often earn comfortable salaries, but suffer a unique form of psychological violence, spending their lives performing tasks they secretly believe contribute nothing meaningful. This differs dramatically from what Graeber calls shit jobs, difficult, low-status positions like janitor or nurse that may be challenging but serve obvious social purposes. The garbage collector's absence would immediately impact society, while a brand compliance officer could vanish without anyone noticing. Yet paradoxically, our economy tends to undervalue essential work while handsomely rewarding the creation and management of bureaucratic complexity. This explains why, even as companies ruthlessly downsize productive workers, the ranks of administrators, coordinators, and consultants continue to expand. Through analyzing hundreds of testimonials, Graeber identified five distinct categories of bullshit jobs. Flunkies exist primarily to make someone else look important, like the portfolio coordinator who frantically completes invented tasks to justify an executive status. Goons perform aggressive work that only exists because other organizations employ similar roles. Think telemarketers, corporate lawyers, and PR specialists, whose jobs would be unnecessary in a different system. Duct tapers fix problems that shouldn't exist in the first place, like programmers writing code to make incompatible systems work together. Box tickers allow organizations to claim they're doing something they aren't actually doing, filling out forms about resident preferences in care homes that are promptly forgotten. Taskmasters either supervise people who need no supervision or create pointless tasks for others, like the academic dean whose entire job consists of producing strategy documents that repackage existing policies. Many positions blend multiple categories or defy easy classification, creating an ecosystem of meaninglessness that sustains itself through elaborate rituals of meetings, reports, and strategic initiatives that add no genuine value to organizations or society. Why is having a pointless job so deeply miserable? The testimonies Graeber collected reveal profound unhappiness, manifesting as anxiety, depression, chronic fatigue, and insomnia, despite good pay for minimal effort. Consider Eric, hired as an interface administrator with no IT experience. Finding himself with virtually nothing to do, he began arriving late, drinking at lunch, and taking three-hour walks. When he tried to quit, they raised his salary from $65,000 to $80,000. His rebellion escalated to showing up drunk and taking fake business trips to party on company money. Yet they wouldn't fire him. Eventually, after breaking down sobbing at a train station, he resigned and fled to Morocco to escape his psychological prison. This suffering stems from a fundamental human need, what psychologist Carl Gross called the pleasure at being the cause. From infancy, we derive satisfaction from meaningfully affecting our environment. When denied this experience, we suffer what psychiatrist Francis Brausek termed the trauma of failed influence, potentially leading to severe mental health issues. No salary can compensate for knowing your life's work serves no purpose. Why are pointless jobs multiplying in an efficiency-focused era? This contradiction reveals what Graeber calls managerial feudalism. Like medieval lords, modern executives maintain bloated retinues as power displays and patronage distribution systems, creating hierarchical fiefdoms that justify their elevated positions. The Elephant Tea Factory demonstrates this perfectly. When workers improved productivity by 50% through their own initiative, management responded by hiring unnecessary white-collar staff with little understanding of tea production. These new managers eventually proposed outsourcing the entire operation, destroying the very efficiency gains that prompted their hiring. This pattern repeats across industries, particularly in creative fields. Hollywood exemplifies this transformation, with the old studio system replaced by corporate conglomerates staffed with MBA-wielding executives bearing elaborate titles like Executive Vice President of Creative Development. These executives, typically knowing little about filmmaking, spend their days writing emails, attending coordination meetings, and having power lunches. The result is a risk-averse culture where genuine creativity is stifled by approval layers, producing endless sequels rather than original content. Why do we pay people more when their work benefits society less? Extensive research confirms this inverse relationship between social value and compensation. Hospital cleaners generate 10 of social value per one earned, while city bankers destroy 7 of value per one earned. Similar patterns emerge across professions. Teachers, nurses, and social workers consistently generate more social value than their compensation reflects. This paradox stems from our confused moral relationship with work, rooted in theological concepts where labor is simultaneously viewed as punishment from Eden's expulsion and divine creation, mirroring God's world-making. This creates a perverse value system where anything enjoyable can't be considered real work, deserving payment, particularly impacting creative and caring professions. A disturbing consensus has emerged across the political spectrum that not working is morally reprehensible, regardless of the work's purpose. Even the wealthy, who historically celebrated their freedom from labor, now pride themselves on workaholic schedules. Tech billionaires boast about 80-hour work weeks, while corporate leaders showcase pre-dawn workout routines as badges of virtue. Universal basic income offers a path forward, not by expanding state power, but by reducing it, eliminating intrusive bureaucracies that morally surveil citizens, while giving workers the power to refuse meaningless work without facing economic ruin. The objection that people won't work ignores that 37-40% of workers already consider their jobs pointless. If everyone could freely choose how to benefit humanity, how could the resulting distribution be less efficient than our current system, where nearly half the economy consists of or supports bullshit jobs? Automation didn't fail to eliminate jobs, it succeeded spectacularly. We've simply filled the gap with meaningless positions. Throughout history, societies distributed necessary tasks without forcing most people to spend their waking hours doing things they'd rather not do. By freeing ourselves from the moral imperative of pointless work, we might discover what genuine human flourishing looks like. The next time you find yourself in a meeting about planning future meetings, remember, this isn't inevitable, but a collective choice. Another world is possible, one where our labor connects meaningfully to human needs rather than serving elaborate hierarchies of manufactured purpose.